How's everyone doing today?
Great.
Awesome. Worship was awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. If you guys have Bibles, I encourage you to open them up. Our passage today is going to be from Luke chapter 8. So this story, it's called The Parable and the Sower. Now, if I could think back, even when I was younger, before I was even a Christian, this was one of those stories that always inspired me. Even now, as I've become more mature in my faith, I've understood what it's like to grow in God. I still keep coming back to the story. And the reason why is because every time I read this parable, I notice something else that I didn't previously understand. And I think that's so cool, because not only is that showing that I'm in a different place inside of my faith, but it shows that God is speaking to me in a different way as well. So one of my favorite authors, his name is Francis Chan. He has a book called Crazy Love. And when reading this parable, he gives one word of advice: do not assume that you are the good seed. And that's the perspective I want to look at for this message. Instead of looking at how we are fruitful, I want to look at how we are the first three seeds, how we are dry in our faith, how we are lukewarm, and how we can even be resistant towards God. But I want to pull away from that and see how we can grow to be fruitful, how we could grow closer with God. So as I pray, let's get things started. Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for being able to worship, being able to call you Abba, Father, being able to get a chance to be in community. Lord, you have a plan, a purpose for all these people. They're fearfully, wonderfully made. You love them. You take care of them. And there's no coincidence that these people here are in your church. And whether it's their 100th time here or their first time, I pray that they could feel welcomed. They could feel loved and accepted. God, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that's open for correction. Teach us to learn your ways and not our own, to grow closer with you. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Verse 4, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell along rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came and yielded a crop, 100 times what was originally sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." His disciples asked them what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables. Though seeing, they may not see. Though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear it. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe what was said. Those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe it for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stand for those who hear, but they go on their own way when they are choked up by life's worries, riches, pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and preserves producing a crop. So each time I read this story, I ask myself, out of the four seeds, where am I in the story? Am I the first one who's resistant towards hearing God's word? Am I the second one who may have experienced joy at one point in my life, but now I feel dry and weak in my faith? Am I the third one? I grew up strong, I grew up fruitful, but I become tempted by the things that this world has to offer, and I turn away from the gospel. Or am I the fourth one? Am I actually doing what God wants me to do? So let's start with the first seed. It's the one that fell on the road, and it became trampled on, and the birds took it away. So this represents those who have no interest in hearing God's word. They're resistant towards him. They have a heart that's hard towards him. So some of you may ask, well, how does this relate to me? Because I accepted Jesus into my heart. I'm a Christian. And those are good things. But a lot of us, we could submit things to God, but we don't submit completely towards him. We could say to God, Lord, I submit to you. I want you to have control over my faith, my family, my spouse, my kids, but not my finances. I worked hard to get money. The money is mine. I could do whatever I want with it. I can't bless you with it. I could do whatever I want. And that is not the way we are called to live. God says he wants all of us or none of us. The next seed is the one that fell on the rock. And it presents, as a start, a strong spiritual growth, but eventually it falls away and it becomes dry. So how many of us here, when we first heard the gospel, when we go to worship, youth group, young adults, we feel so inspired and we feel joy from getting to spend time with God, to being in fellowship with others. But how long does that joy actually last for? Is it just a season? Is it just one Sunday and then you go back home after church and nothing in your life changes? You know, we could lift up our hands and worship on a Sunday, but how are we honoring him in the other 6 days of our week? Even when God takes care of us, he teaches us to be fruitful. Do we act one way in church and then we act a different way with our spouse, with our friends, at a workplace? Jesus said in the Beatitudes, whoever builds his life on my commandments is the one who builds his house on a good foundation. God tells us that when we hear his calling, when we hear his commands, if we choose to not listen, if we choose to disobey, our faith is going to become stagnant and we're going to start drawing further away from God and we're not going to grow in our faith. Church is a place where we should be uncomfortable. We should learn how to grow. We should learn what God is teaching us, and we should learn to listen. John chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman. Samaritans, by the way, people hated them, especially the Jews. They were the lowest of society, and the Samaritan that Jesus is talking to, she's a woman who's had five marriages, and she's not even married to the person that she is sleeping with right now. So she's lived a sinful life. And I want to show you guys how accepting Jesus is. Jesus tells her, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become a spring of living water, welling up to eternal life. We see this again, John chapter 7, verse 37. He said, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and have a drink. The scripture declares rivers of living water will flow from his heart. A lot of us, we are born with something, all of us are born with something intentionally missing. It's part of our spirit. It's part of our sinful spiritual nature. There may be something that you want, whether it's a good job, more money, financial security, a wife or a husband. Jesus is the only one that could satisfy that hole. He's the only one that could satiate your spiritual thirst. Amen. The third seed. And out of the four seeds, this third one is probably the most dangerous. And it's also the one I relate to the most. It starts off growing fruitful, but thorns around it choke it out. And eventually it withers, the faith dissipates, and the plant dies. Some people may grow up super strong in their faith. You see them, and you see them as a role model, as a leader. They serve in ministry. They're adept in preaching. They go to seminary. They volunteer at worship nights. But eventually, their faith starts to wither. They become tempted by the things that this world has to offer, and they choose to fall away from their faith. Last month, our youth group, we went on a trip to Echo Lake Bible Camp, and I was talking with my youth pastor, Sean, and I told him, Sean, it must be so cool being a youth pastor because you get to see kids grow. You get to take care of them, help them grow in their faith, and you get to see them even as adults, even as fathers and mothers, how they continue to strive and grow and build up the church. And Sean says, yeah, that's awesome. But Daniel, do you know what else is just as surprising? The amount of people who fall away from their faith. The people you see in youth group, in young adults, and you see that person have so much potential. That person loves the Lord, and eventually they fall away. We could see this with Israel as well in their 40-year journey to the Promised Land. In Egypt, they were slaves. They could not be fruitful. They could not practice their religion freely. So God, he took them out. He delivered them. He protected them. He guided them. And we could see in the Old Testament, Judges, 1 and 2 Kings especially, the Israelites, they chose to walk away from God. Even though God took care of them, he nurtured them, he helped them grow in their faith, he sent them to the Promised Land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a place where they could freely worship Yahweh. And the Israelites chose to disobey, worship false idols. Revelation 3, verse 15 to 16, John said, I know your deeds, that you were neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. Because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. This is Jesus saying, I would rather have you not be a Christian than fake being a Christian. When we die and we see Jesus, he's going to say two things to us. Well done, my faithful servant, or get away from me, you evildoer. I never knew you. And that's a terrifying thought. The reason I would say that this third seat is the most dangerous is that the people are often deceived. They believe that they're strong in their faith, even though they're really not. And when they finally realize it, it's too late. Half-hearted people who are lukewarm in their faith, this can be people at church who have grown up in Sunday school their whole lives, people who give a small amount of their lives to Jesus, who may have felt joy at one point and then they chose to fall away. People who are numb to the gospel, they don't feel God's presence anymore. I want to share a personal story. This happened to me last year at Nest Lake. So during teen camp, we had a lake party. So all of my campers were jumping into the water. And of course, I joined them. And I was in a bit of a rush. I didn't realize I had my glasses with me. So jumped into the water. I rose up from the surface. And I was like, wait. Yeah, I lost my glasses. And I can't see anything without them. I'm basically blind. So I walk back up to my cabin to get a backup pair. And that walk up it felt like a hike, even though my cabin was the closest one to the lake. And even during dinner time, later on that day, one of the other leaders, he approached me and he told me, Daniel, you look like you were walking around in circles. You were totally lost and it was obvious you didn't know where you were going. You said you were going to your cabin and you went the long way. And yeah, we both had a good laugh. But I felt God's conviction. If that is what I'm like when I'm physically blind, how spiritually blind am I? Do I believe that I'm actually saved? That just because I study theology, that I'm actually close with God? The people in the New Testament who seemed closest to God were the Pharisees, and even though they knew of God's love, they were not living God's love. So I was asking myself, do I need guidance? Do I need help? Because spiritually, I'm blind. I can't do things on my own. Finally, the final seed, the seed that produces 100 times what was originally sown, the one that produces fruitfulness. This is the seed that we should all strive to follow. So, how do we get there? Lamentations 3, verse 40 says, "Let us examine our ways and test them. Let us return to the Lord." So one way we could see where our hearts are and see how great God is in prayer. When we ask God, "Lord, I want to change my ways. If there is something inside of my life that is causing me to sin, if I'm not feeling your conviction, if I'm not feeling your love, I ask that whatever it is inside of my life, I ask you to change me." And when we pray those prayers, how much do we actually want God to change us? I've heard some very hypocritical prayers inside of my life. Some examples are, "God, help me to lose weight, but I'm never going to start exercising. I'm never going to eat more healthy. God, help me to grow in my faith, but I'm not going to pray, I'm not going to read your word, I'm not going to share the gospel. God, help fix my marriage, but I won't stop having an affair. I won't stop cheating on my spouse." Those are prayers God is not going to bless. You know, we could say to God, "We want you," but do we truly actually love God? Or do we simply want God because we want eternal salvation? We want to use him as a security blanket. Mark chapter 9, verse 24. This is one of my favorite prayers in the Bible. This is a father of a demon-possessed man, and he's talking to Jesus, asking him to heal him. And he says, "Lord, I believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief." That is an honest, real prayer that you can't fake. And some of you guys inside of this room, you may feel like you're weak in your faith. You may feel like you're dry. You don't feel joy at all. I urge you to come and talk to God and just be honest about how you're feeling. And some of you in this room, you might feel bitter, angry, depressed, even hateful towards God. You feel like God has abandoned you. He's turned his back on you. And first off, let me tell you, that's not the case. We all go through seasons in our faith where we feel dry, we feel that God has turned our back on us. But it's the testing of our faith that we get to grow, that we gain perseverance. John 10:10 says, "I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full." So even when you feel angry and bitter towards God, I encourage you to pray to him. I encourage you that no matter what you're dealing with, just be honest with him. There's no sin. There's no trouble that God cannot work through if you're willing to be honest. There's another parable I want to discuss. Matthew 13, verse 44 to 46. This is the parable of the hidden treasure out in the field. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it, and then in his joy went and sold all the things he bought that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and he bought it. Notice how he says, "in his joy." He wasn't just happy, he was joyful to get rid of all of his sinful possessions, to get rid of the things that hinder his spiritual life, because he found something so much, infinitely more amazing. C.S. Lewis says this. He's one of my favorite authors. He has this quote in this book called Mere Christianity, and he says, "The more we let God take over us, the more true we become to ourselves. When I turn to Christ, when I give up myself for his personality, that is when I begin to have real personality of my own." This isn't in my notes, but I feel like I should share this. In case some of you may are wondering, I've lived such a sinful life. God's not going to welcome me. God's not going to accept me. I've done too many wrong things. And I've been there too. I struggle with self-condemnation. I remember every single night, the last thing I would normally do is pray. But what would often happen is, while I was praying, I'd become so tired, I would just fall asleep. And I would wake up the next morning, and I wouldn't feel joyful at all. In fact, I'd feel like I sinned, I messed up, that I disappointed God. And I was really beating myself up, and I was struggling with that. I was talking with my campus minister, and he told me something that, wow, it was so powerful. I told him I was struggling with self-condemnation. Every time I would pray before I sleep, I would wake up the next morning feeling like garbage. And he says, Daniel, the closest time I felt with my son, with my daughter, is when they were just sleeping in my arms, when they were a baby. And Daniel, that is how the Lord sees us. Daniel looks, or God, Daniel looks at you with something so indescribable, overwhelming, supernatural love. And not just for me, that's for all of you as well. So no matter what background, no matter what sinful life you've lived in the past, like I said, there's no baggage that God cannot work through. And there's no sin that God cannot forgive. Let's pray. God, thank you that you are so good, even when we're not. God, you sent your son down for us because you loved us while we were still sinners. God, teach us whatever sin is hindering our life, whatever is causing a block between you and me, I pray that you can convict us, you can open up our conscience to show it. I pray that you could change the way that we live. Teach us to know that when we sacrifice our lives for you, we don't need to feel angry like we're losing something, because we found something so much more amazing, so much more joyful, so much more greater. I pray that whatever message you placed on our congregation's heart, I pray that this won't just last a season, that their joy and their faith, it's going to grow with them continually. Outside the church, whether it's in school, in a workplace, in their marriage, in their relationships, I pray that we can have assurance that you're with us, you're guiding us, and that you never leave us. Amen.